Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
People in my program started to know I was Jewish. And sometimes, like, I would get questions or, like, stopped in the hallway. It was, like, questions about, like, oh, so we support Israel? I've got friends that were, like, kicked out of parties and out of student clubs for, like, being a Jewish and being Zionist and really want to, like, hide your Judaism. But it's so, so important that you don't, that any other Jewish student listening, that you don't hide who you are, because that's what their whole goal is.
Emma, 3 weeks ago on this program, Toronto Metropolitan University student, and she's a student of Dr. Eric Kam, who you know very well if you listen to this program with any degree of regularity, macroeconomics professor at TMU. And he really is our go-to person when it comes to economics, both on the national and international level, and how it filters down to all of us. Individually, Dr. Kam is Jewish, and Dr. Kam's advice and support of Emma has made her feel far more secure with who she is and far more secure at being at Toronto Metropolitan University as a Jewish student. Let me just say this. This is a question, really. Why are university students in both Canada and the United States, as well as in Europe, engaging in Jew hatred? Look, the clinical term is anti-Semitism, but really it's the post-secondary environment that is blatantly Jew hatred, which I never expected to see or experience in any form in this country. Never expected it to happen. Tomorrow we're going to be speaking with a Jewish Canadian who was identified as Jewish at a demonstration that was pro-Hamas and pro-Palestinian. And he was subjected, well, he'll tell us, but he was subjected to vile and intimidating accusations, and he was chased for several blocks before the chase broke off. He'll be joining us. But let's talk to Dr. Eric Kam, our usual go-to macroeconomics professor, and talk to Dr. Kam about what's going on at TMU and at universities in this country. We're also going to play a little bit for you later, some audio from a social media post by a University of Southern California student who will miss her university graduation because it's been canceled due to Jew hatred and an intimidated administration, and she missed out on her high school graduation because of COVID. And clearly and understandably, she's not happy. Eric, what's going on? What's going on at TMU as far as Jewish students are concerned, perhaps even Jewish faculty is concerned? What's going on?
Hi, Roy.
Hi.
What's going on really is that in a lot of ways, there's that silly expression about the greasy wheel getting the oil or whatever it is. And so this is what you've got on my campus, and we're not alone, many campuses, that the loudest group are the anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic groups. They are large, they are loud, they are proud, and as this drags on in the Middle East, they become more emboldened and they are right in your face. And it's hard not to miss, from getting off the subway to making your way to and through the campus. And you asked the question of why. And I actually think there's a conflation of three things going on, none of them good. First of all, it's no secret that universities in North America especially have taken a hold of what we loosely call woke culture or the far left. And right now, that far left culture breeds a real hatred of all things Jewish. And how many times do I have to hear from people that we are not a protected group? We are wealthy white people. Let me tell you, I wish my grandparents could have heard that term to describe Jews. Number two, you know, university students have always tried to follow, and you remember this better than me, a bit of a counterculture and be demonstrators and be activists. Well, again, thanks to conflation, that activism is pointed against the Jewish community. I think that's number two. And then number three, sadly, and this makes me almost want to cry, overwhelmingly, faculty are anti-Israel. The faculty that I've spoken to, and of course, what's really awful for me is there is a group on my campus. People can look it up. It's called the Jewish Faculty Network, and it sounds great, but it's composed of some of the most ardent anti-Semites I've ever met in my life. And so, again, for students who are following woke culture and following counterculture, a lot of students, me included, looked up to our professors and kind of wanted to be like them and even sound like them. Well, if your professors are preaching anti-Israel, anti-Jewish sentiment, Roy, and you want to sound like those people, you put it all together, you mix it up in a bowl, and you get just a very unsure, unsettled, unstable campus, Roy, for Jewish students.
Yeah. I've been aware of the divestment culture that's existing in universities for some time. But what we've seen over the last 6 to 7 months has really gone over the top, clearly. And it's becoming alarming, and or has become alarming. But are you saying to me then that these are disaffected young people who are being led by professors who shouldn't be leading them, and Jewish Canadians are just targets of opportunity, and the war between Israel and Hamas is just the facilitator for what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I would argue in my speaking to students, and as you know, I have an amazing relationship with
you.
My
do. I should tell everyone, if you look at the relationship, and it's posted online by students, the relationship that Dr. Kam has with his students is absolutely amazing. They just love him. Carry on, please, Eric.
And he loves them. I mean, I really do. But the problem is that in many of their classes, and frankly, many of their houses, they're getting a very homogeneous message that Israel and Israelis are the aggressors and responsible for this. Largely, they are not being told about or reminded about what happened on October 7th. And so I think that the messages, I mean, remember, they're young people, Roy. These are 18-year-old people, and they get the messages from the people that they respect. And I'm afraid right now that universities are just a microcosm of society that have decided that their sympathies are not with the Israeli people. I think a lot of people have forgotten what stimulated this attack on the 7th. And I say that, by the way, from a place of knowledge. So as I mentioned, that Jewish Faculty Network had a meeting this week. And a lot of my friends thought I was crazy. And that's a separate issue. But I went. I attended. It was virtual, but I attended. And I heard people, and I'm not exaggerating, in tears about the Gazans, about the Palestinians, about the what they are facing thanks to Israel. And never once in the 1 hour that I was present did I hear anything about the 7th of October. I never heard about the bombing or the raping. I never heard anything about hostages being taken and not returned yet. I mean, there's just a singular message out there on my campus and, again, other campuses that this is, and I heard a student say this to me, is that they're having to contend with the Israeli problem and the Zionist problem. And it really struck me, Roy, and I'll tell you why, because that sounds a lot like the Jewish problem from 1933. And so I think that the message they're getting on campus from the people that they are supposed to be respecting is so negative that they just, that's all they've got. If you only hear one message, it's all you have. And I think it starts to get pervasive. And it leaves Jewish students, frankly, that you probably saw in the newspaper that a young lady is suing the campus for $1.3 million.
Yes.
Because she said she's afraid and she's alone. You know what? That's how many of the Jewish students and faculty feel today, Roy, scared and alone.
On Twitter, there's this from McGill University, and it's 17 minutes old. McGill has begun an encampment to demand university divest from companies and initiatives tied to the genocidal state. In the largest referendum in McGill history, students recently voted 80% to divest, but administration has ignored them. Now they're taking space until the administration concedes. That's where the police should arrive. Here's another one. It's 12 minutes old from Montreal. And it says, all the cafe are wearing Concordia and McGill, can't read the next word, camping out, chanting in hopes of the annihilation of Jews and Israel. We had a huge heads up from the chaos at Columbia University, so why no police? It's almost as if the schools and government want this to happen. Word I couldn't read was zombies. So, Eric, when you hear that about McGill University and, you know, it's going on, how do you react to that?
Well,
I mean, it's almost a redundant question, isn't it? I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's not a redundant question at all, Roy. It's heartbreaking. This is supposed to be, and McGill is supposed to be, you know, one of the top three or five universities in the country. And you see what's coming out of it. And it's actually heartbreaking. And so to go back to your previous question, who supports the Jewish students?
Who's standing with the Jewish students? You are, and you're Jewish, but they've come to you and they gain strength from you.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. But I'm just one person. And there's lots of me, by the way. There are lots of Jewish faculty that are there to support their students. The problem is that I see there is that Jewish profs are a tiny minority on the campus. And sadly, a sizable group of that tiny minority, Roy, are not friendly to Israel. I tell the famous story about a professor I know, I obviously won't give their name, that at one time on their office door had a Jewish star with a line through it. And what's that? What message is that going to send to the students? And so, you know, there are in Canada, we have places called Chabad House, but unfortunately, TMU doesn't have one. We have Hillel, which is a Jewish student group, and they do the best job that they can. But yes, to your point, and then another thing I should add is that in the message being circulated, it's pretty funny how Jewish people are in so many people's narrative not indigenous to the land. I mean, we know you can go back to the Old Testament, if you like, the Bible, and you see that Jews are indigenous to that part of the Middle East. But the story that they're told, so many of our students from so many of our faculty, you know, starts way after that. And the narrative begins with the Jews stole the land from the native Middle Eastern people. And that's just frankly not true. And then people jump on that. I mean, the history of Jewish people being kicked out of various parts of the Middle East over the last 3,000 years is well told. So it's a tough time, right? We can't and we shouldn't candy coat it. Jewish students, if they feel scared, should reach out to people that they feel are safe spaces. I'm always around and I can recommend other faculty that are supportive. We, quite frankly, have our own meetings. Again, we're not large, but we're caring. And what we just try to tell Jewish students is that it should not be wrong or dangerous or scary to be Jewish and go to university. But unfortunately, they're looking back at us and saying, but sir, right now it is. So unfortunately, we're between a rock and a hard place. All we can do is be out there. I appear on your show. I say it in lecture. If they need me, if they want me to recommend other colleagues, that's really all we can do right now, because the visible message, the audible message they're getting is almost entirely anti-Israel, anti-Zionist. Those are two bad words, Roy, and that's really hard with which to compete.
Yeah, I'm looking, though, my mind's eye sees a couple of 18-year-olds, a couple of 19-year-olds, even a couple of 20-year-olds. One of them is Jewish, the other isn't, but they're both Canadians. They've never been to the Middle East. They have no idea what life is like there. They've just been conditioned to be antagonistic toward one another. And how does that even, maybe it's the human condition, Eric, but it's a lifetime of experience that lets me speak this way. But how do you move forward with such an irrational, unsustainable position? You're not from there. You've never been there. You're dealing with a person who lives in potentially your neighborhood. What are you doing?
You are repeating the loudest message back to the first thing I said. When you're the greasy wheel, you get the oil. Well, when the only message that they are hearing loud and clear, sometimes from home, sometimes from their lecture hall, sadly, sometimes both, is that Zionism is a bad word. And then you have a sociology professor at my campus say that they do not want to teach anymore. And I quote, brain dead Zios, unquote. I will leave it there, Roy, because I don't know where to go from there.
Well, I would say even a degree notwithstanding, a PhD notwithstanding, I would doubt whether that individual you just mentioned could spell cat, even if I spotted him the C and the A.
I don't disagree, Roy. I can't begin to tell you what's going on in academia today. I now know a little bit of what when my grandparents used to say, you know, you're lucky. You don't have to fear being Jewish like we did.
Yeah.
Sadly, I think now we have an idea of what it was like to be scared to be Jewish. And again, when there's one homogeneous message being seen, being heard, being transmitted, well, you know, you and this goes back to you're about 18 years old.
Right.
When you hear something enough times, you start to believe it, Roy.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.